to change everything. I mean, the Spirit is going to be just like dripping down and oozing with God. And I can't wait. So there's no pressure. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we do pray for Carissa and Madeline as they prepare for some music. Lord, even next week, we just pray, Lord, you'd give them peace of mind and heart. And Lord, that I didn't stir it up too much. And Lord, we thank you for the music we just heard. Lord, what a tremendous song, tremendous ability to just change the heart, prepare the heart for the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. What's up? Acts 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. As we look at verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this," all that tumult, "was noised abroad, and the multitude came together, they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" Wow. What a story. A lot of people say, "Well, I've had the Pentecostal experience." Do you know there were 30 Pentecost, days of Pentecost in the book of Acts? 30 of them. 33 AD to 63 AD. 30 of them. Do you know how many of them were like this? One. Why? Because God promised in verse 8 of chapter 1, look at what he says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth." That is the fulfillment in chapter 2 that we're reading about. It is not, and why was it the day of Pentecost? Because on the day of Pentecost, which is Penta 50, and we'll get into some of that, we'll get into Puff Patat here in a minute, and that's not tongues, it's all the feast days. Puff Patat, P-U-F-P-T-A-T, okay? And we'll get into that, and I'll explain that. In other words, if you want to memorize what the feasts are, those seven feasts are P-U-F-P-T-A-T, Puff Patat. That's how you memorize it in Bible college. So if you want a Bible college degree, then just listen up and I'll give you one tonight. Won't be on a piece of paper though. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So jump back to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Now, most people don't understand the Jewish feast days. I don't know how many Christians want to be Jews, but there's a lot of them. And they say, "Well, you know, we want to follow the Jewish feast days, and we want to do this, and we want to do that." And they don't realize that, look, it's not it is not as easy as you think. In Exodus chapter 23, it talks about those feast days. And let's see, verse 14. "Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread." So you see that? Look at verse 16. "And the feast of harvest." 16. "Feast of gathering." And it goes on. Look at verse 17. "Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord." Do you realize three times in the year every Jewish young man, male, had to go to Jerusalem three times a year. That's why Pentecost was the day that God chose to bring about this miraculous event, because there were Jews from every nation there and every language and every tongue. What's the problem when you have them all there and you have apostles that are Galileans that don't know every language? You've got a language problem, a language barrier.
Ever since Genesis chapter 11, you've got a language barrier. That language barrier is getting ready to be overcome because God is going to do a miraculous thing. It's called tongues, which are always a language. Tongues are always a language. You say, what about the unknown tongues? Well, the unknown tongues are just like the unknown God. Remember, he said, you worship the unknown God. And Paul says, him I come to present to you. Remember that? It's Acts chapter 17, I think it is. Acts 17, 23. He says, I'm here to tell you about that unknown tongue. And I'm sorry, the unknown God. And that God is the God of heaven. So puff patat, here you go. I'm going to give it to you. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. That's pretty fast. You probably can't write it down, but you can always get the cassette tape. Say what? CD. You can always listen to it online now. You don't even need to do a CD. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. That's puff, P-U-F. And then it's P, Pentecost. Then it's tat, T-A-T, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles. Those are the seven feast days of the nation of Israel. And listen, I don't want to keep the feast days. I'm not required to keep the feast days. And I'll just give you this. Pentecost is also known as the Feast of Weeks in Exodus 34. It's also the Feast of Harvest in Exodus 23. It's also the Day of First Fruits in Numbers 28:16. So it gets complicated. You want to know what Pentecost is? Well, if you see Feast of Weeks, that's Pentecost. When you see Feast of Harvest, Pentecost, Day of First Fruits, that's Pentecost. So, you know, you got to study your Bible. And you got all these yahoos out there. Oh, I'm a Jew. I'm a Messianic Jew. I'm keeping the feast days. And oh, it's such a life-changing thing. If you just keep these feast days and you get a menorah and you light those seven candles during the right time. And listen, God is not worshipped with men's hands. So stop. You're wasting your time. You know what you need to be doing? You need to be out there as a minister of the resurrection, with the ministry of reconciliation, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, not trying to put yourself under the law, which you cannot keep anyway. Pentecost. It's always a language. When I was talking about the tongues. Let's look at it and just get some definitions. Jump to Genesis chapter 10. Let's see if tongues are defined in the Bible as a language. Now, I can give you 8-10 references because I've got them, but I'm going to give you a few. Genesis chapter 10, look at verse 20. The Bible says, these are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries and in their nations. After their tongues, the sons of Ham. Verse 31, these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. Look at Genesis chapter... No, look at Isaiah 66. Last chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66, looking at this thing and saying, is our tongues a language? Isaiah 66, 18. For I know thy works and their works and their thoughts, it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Why does he say all nations and tongues? Are we a nation of one tongue? Dial one, dial two. Used to be, so to speak. I mean, you never got to dial another number. And listen, I'm all for Spanish people being able to understand what's going on. But, you know, I'd rather have this nation like every other nation. You assimilate into society. You don't come in there. You don't go into Israel and go, hey, you know, you're going to do it my way. They say, well, if you witness to children without being asked the question, we'll put you in jail. Proselytizing. You know that? Hey, you go to any Arab country. Well, we're from America, and we want you guys to speak English. Can you change your phone system so we can dial one and hear everything in English? And listen, come on. That's what subtitles are for. I use subtitles for something other than that, and that's called deafness. But let's go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And let me show you something pretty ominous. In Revelation chapter 7. Remember, all I'm trying to do is show you that tongues are a language. Revelation 7, 9. After this, behold, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Now, why is it nations, kindreds, people, and tongues? Because it's all to do with you can have a nation but have more than one tongue. Kindred, but have more than one tongue. People, and have more than one tongue. And that's what he's saying. He's saying every single language is represented there. Now, you know who's going to control language in the future? Look at Revelation chapter 13. This is the ominous one. In Revelation chapter 13, you are introduced to the Antichrist again, because again, Revelation repeats itself. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, they all speak English, probably more so Hebrew than anything else. And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Kindreds, languages, nations. You know what? You know who's going to speak in tongues in the future? The Antichrist and his group. He's going to have power over all that. That's why you need to be careful. All this stuff's leading somewhere. It's just not really good. Look at Leviticus chapter 23. We're still looking at the day of Pentecost also, along with the tongues. And Leviticus chapter 23, let me, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, and here's how you do Pentecost. So I'm going to just teach you one, that's going to be Pentecost. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. So what's the morrow after the Sabbath? Well, in this case, you have seven Sabbaths. You have seven Sabbaths, 49 days. What's the day after that Sabbath? The 50th day, Pentecost. And you have to go through and you have to read what these first fruits, like if you look in verse 10, it talks about first fruits, talks about the feast. So if you want to know where the feasts are, look at verse 4. I'm sorry, look at verse 5. You see Passover? The first month at even is the Lord's Passover. Puff Patat, verse 6. And the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. Puff, P-U. Puff, P-U-F. Look at verse 10, first fruits. Puff, P-U-F, P, Pentecost. That's where we are right now in verse 15. Okay, won't mention Pentecost here, but it is Pentecost. Let's look at it. Because the 50th day after all this, after the thing, he says, and ye shall, verse 15, ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Seven Sabbaths, how many days? 49 days. What's the day after? 50th day. What's that? Pentagon, five-sided building. Get it? Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall be numbered 50 days. That makes it even easier. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. These are the first fruits unto the Lord. You say, with leaven? Yeah, it's corrupt. It's corrupt. Jews took individual grains of corn, they ground them into flour, and they added oil and leaven and made two loaves, offered them to the Lord, along with seven unblemished lambs, two rams for burnt offering. So listen, you want to do Pentecost, you go ahead. We're not going to do it in this church. It's just not for us. So why do people feel they got to do it? Because everybody wants to find a way to get closer to God than everybody else. Why do people think, well, I have a special gift. I have the gift of knowledge, they say. Oh, I got the gift of knowledge, and the Lord told me to tell you. And boy, I'll tell you what, you better write it down. Number one, it's the Word of God. Number two, they control you now because they are in place of God. But you know how often that happens? You know, we've had people visit here that do that. And that's why I can only go so long. You know, my phone rang a couple times this week about it, and I'm not, it just ain't going to happen. You're not going to listen. You're not going to get it. I'm not going to, I can only go so long. I've got people that I need to invest in, and they're in this church. You come here and you visit and you assimilate in, meaning you listen and you don't leave here and go, well, I believe there's prophets. After I showed and proved that there are no prophets today, then look, I got to look at it and go, you know, there's going to be a problem here. You got to either learn your Bible, but you can't, and listen, you can learn your Bible and keep your mouth shut and you can stay forever. But if you learn your Bible and try to impact or infect other people like we've had here and every church has, like the guy in the back row that's not John back there now, I mean, he wanted to start a Bible study, and he wanted to teach me the Bible, he said. And he showed me this piece of paper. He said, you ever teach that, how to become a son of God? I went, not in those words. He said, well, I like to sit down with you sometime. I was like, so you can teach me that? And he said, yeah. I said, I don't know. I've been run out of 37 churches. I said, guess what? You're not going to get run out of here. You're going to leave on your own. You know what happened? He left on his own. Why? Because if they don't get what they want, which is, in this case, my attention, and I taught that pastor at that church, I taught him everything he knows, there are people that will do that. Listen, I am all for learning. I absolutely love to learn. I've learned from some of you. Learned from most of you. I have. But it's not like that. None of you came in and go, let me show you the Bible, Pastor. Let me show you the door, buddy. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Let me see. Where are we? Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. So now, we've nailed down Pentecost. It's the first day of the week. It's the first day of the week. Remember that. So the Sabbath's on the seventh day of the week. So if you have seven Sabbaths, then that's the 49 days. The day after the seven Sabbaths is the first day of the week. So that's easy to figure out. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the first day of the week. Why is the first day of the week so important for Christians? Because that's when the resurrection was. That's when our day, and we don't have a Sabbath, by the way. I went and worked out today. Jesus said, you going to work out on Sunday? I said, yeah. It's not a Sabbath. I've been working out every day. I got to lose my 0.4 pounds per day. And the only way to do that is not to take a break. So we don't have a Sabbath. Now, should you have a day of rest? Yeah, you, but not me. Because when's my day of rest? Like yours, Sunday? I work harder on Sundays, or at least as hard as any other day. So it's hard for me to figure out how to get a day off. One day I will. I swear, Judy, I'll take a day off. And we take a little time off. Don't get me wrong. We're not being, this is not a slave environment. I don't want you to think I'm saying that. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't do it. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you, listen, I've worked hard all my life. My daddy raised me to work hard. My mama raised me to work hard. I had three jobs when I was 12 years old. I bag groceries. Sometimes we'd make $20 a day. You guys get that for a birthday around here. I cut grass and I had a paper route. We had the whole base paper route, all three of the boys. They'd call my house and say, we need somebody to bag. Man, one of us three was up there to bag. And man, when you got a dollar tip, you thought you were rolling in the dough. And you were. But that's how I was raised. The only time I took a break was when I played sports, and I played football, wrestled, and I think I played baseball one year. And I could, you know, I was like, no, I gotta get back to work. So I ran a grocery store when I was 16 years old. The only one in the grocery store. I mean, a convenience store, not a grocery store. But there were groceries in there. Why? Why am I like I am now? Because that's the way I was raised. Then I got saved, and it's like a double whammy. Now you got the upbringing, and you got the wherewithal to do right and to be responsible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know why I got saved? I promised a guy I'd come to church here in Niceville. And I kept my promise. Oh, by the way, heard from my dad today. Looks like he will be down here along with Heather at the same time. And they'll be here through Mother's Day. And I just want to tell you this. Mother's Day is when my mom died 2 years ago, 1 year ago. When my mom died 1 year ago. So he will be here for that day. Now look, listen, he's rough and gruff, at least as I remember him, he was. Boy, do I remember him that way. So I don't want you to think it's any big deal. I just want to tell you that just so you know. And if he were listening, which I don't think he is, if you are, Dad, see you in a couple of weeks and love you. All right, back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost, verse 1, was fully come, they were all with one accord, there's that one accord, in one place, and suddenly, how fast was that? Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So was it wind? Well, it was a sound like wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. None of them are praying. None of them are, you know, going like this. You know, none of them are doing that. They're just sitting there. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Was it fire? No. Yeah. It was like as fire. Like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. That's why people say, well, I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Because they see that right there and they go, oh, see, that's what I want. I want that fire. It's not even fire because it's like fire. And you don't want to be baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire because the fire is never quenchable. It's hellfire. He's going to baptize people two ways, with the Holy Ghost when you get saved or with fire whenever you die without Christ. That's the difference. I like the way I did that. That's the difference. I feel good. My greatest moments. It'll be on that cassette tape that you can watch. Just seeing who's listening. So it was like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18? Be filled with the Spirit. You and I are supposed to be filled. So be filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's a reversal of Genesis 11:9, when God confounded the languages. Now He gave all those languages. And listen, it's going to be pretty peculiar. So watch how we get here and we start talking about everybody hearing them in his own language. Pay attention. So it says that, verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, why were there devout men out of every nation under heaven? Because they were required three times a year to come to Jerusalem, and the day of Pentecost is one of them. So the only reason God chose Pentecost to have this happen is because He wanted His truth to spread all over the known world. And the Jews require a sign, and tongues are for a sign. So the Jews saw a sign and they went, this is God. Now how did they know that this wasn't just gibberish? I mean, if they're just lakum delay lamak sabak tanai and untie my bow tie. You know, if that's all they were hearing, then how would they know? I mean, what would they attribute that to? There's nothing historically in the Bible like that. Verse 6. Now when this, what was going on, was noised abroad, and the multitude came together and were confounded because, look at this, every man heard them speak in his own language. What were the tongues? A language. What's an unknown tongue? Just means nobody around knows it. Doesn't mean it's not a language. Who's the unknown God? Oh, well, no. Paul said, I'm going to tell you about that unknown God, and it's God up in heaven. So is he unknown after they find out who he is? No. He's unknown up until that point. So every man heard them speak in his own language. So now watch how this works. Now look at me up here. So let's say I'm an apostle. Doug the apostle. At this time. He's not in the Bible, but let's just say I was. And I'm speaking. And I have 10 different people with 10 different languages around me. And every other apostle has the same thing. 10 different people, 3 different people with different languages. Every man heard them speak in his own language. So it was the hearing that was really amazing. If you're Russian, you heard me in Russian. Same thing I'm saying. If Abby is from Greece, she heard me speak in Greece. Barbara? You heard me actually speak English. I don't know what... Praise the Lord, Barbara says. I'll never forget that time I said something about, you know, speaking in English. She says, well, you haven't spoken in English since I've been here, or something to that effect. You know, it was one of those Barbara moments. And it had to do with England, so... But she loves America. Hey, man, you know, I wish I was both. I love London. That's my favorite city. Used to be. I don't know how it is now. Hey, how do you... Let's run a couple of references. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. Is this a language? Chapter 2, verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. How they know it's the wonderful works of God? Because they could hear them speak in their language. Yes. Look at another verse. Look over at chapter 10, Acts 10. This is Peter going to Cornelius, who's a Gentile. So the tongues are for the Jew. How do you know that? Because look at verse 45. Verse 44. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they were they of the circumcision which believed, they were believers, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues in this case. And you can define, just like in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the gift is speaking in tongues. The Gentiles also has poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For, verse 36, that also can mean because, and it does. How did they know the gift of the Holy Ghost was fallen on them? For they heard them speak with tongues. And you say, oh, they all were gibbering. No. Because they said, and magnify God. They heard them magnify God and understood what it was, even though they didn't speak the Hebrew language. And they were all astonished. Why? Because God gave tongues to them as a sign to these Jews that they had believed. Because how else would you know? I've already told you, I can't tell you whether somebody's saved or not. I can talk to them for 2 hours and not know for sure if somebody's saved. But I can tell you this, if God gave me a sign, which He will not, and He doesn't need to, and I'm not asking for it, and all of a sudden they started speaking in German that I could understand, or French that I could understand, then I would look at that and go, wow, Lord, you just did a wonderful work right there. And they don't know the language in the first century, not today. Then I'd be going, hey, something's going on. And they're magnifying God. I mean, who magnifies God? Unbelievers? Somebody that's had a big conversion right there. Look at chapter 19. Look at another one. Acts chapter 19. These are languages. Acts chapter 19. Verse, I'd like to go through the whole thing. Verse 5, when they heard this, the preaching that they need to believe on Jesus, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, they were already saved because they got baptized already. The Holy Ghost came on them, he might already be in them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. How did he know they prophesied? Because he could understand what they were saying. So, here's the problem we have. Why is it that we have so much going on that contradicts what I just showed you? Because people don't believe what the Bible says. They believe their experience. And now, the title of my message is My Pentecostal Experience. So I'm going to give you mine. And I probably already have. But I spoke in tongues, but it wasn't tongues. I spoke in tongues in Niceville, at a house of water, probably on Bayshore somewhere. I probably can figure that one out. But I was in a meeting, a woman stood up, she was teaching, and grew up in a house out of the Methodist church, which is what it was back then. And I had just gotten saved, and I said, well, what's this tongues? They said, oh, we'll talk to you about it afterwards. All right? I got the woman in front of me, three girls here, all of them doing their thing. The pressure was excruciating. You know what my mind did? My mind relieved the pressure because your mind is so powerful. I didn't fake it, but my mouth started doing what they were doing in order to relieve the pressure. So, I could go and I could say, I had an experience and I'm closer to God than you are because you all hadn't done that. And I have. So I am more spiritual because I don't need to live by faith. Why? I know God exists. He gave me this gift. It'll destroy you and could have destroyed me forever. Except for a big 6'6" guy named Eddie Mills. He was in the office. I'm in 33rd Tactical Fighter Wing headquarters, and he's in one of the squadrons, so he has to come over to my office almost every day. And I'm in there, and he knew I got saved, and he's at this church, and I'm still over there. And I said, what do you think about tongues? And, you know, I thought I'd asked him who the Antichrist was. He'd start quoting, you know, in the last days, they'll have itching ears. And he's grabbing his ear, and it's itching, I suppose. But he's going, I'm like, I don't even know the scripture. And he's doing that, and he almost does it every time. He was only 20 years old. God led me, the Lord was only 18. But he started coming in every day, give me more scripture. And then finally, my girlfriend and I broke up, and I said, hey, I'm going to go check out that church. And I came over here, and man, I learned all that. I don't have that Bible. I mean, I have that Bible, but it's not this Bible. I had notes in there, notes. And I went back to Ron and Tom and Richard, who you met him here. And I went back and told all of them and started teaching them the Bible. And they said, man, we got to go to that church. Ron, Tom, Richard. Clint didn't, but 3 years later, the guy that led me to the Lord, the guy that had the meeting at his house, he came up and he took me to a dispensational meeting 2 years after we got married. We were there, so probably 1989, took me to Birmingham to a meeting. He got out of it too. His family didn't, but he did. Why? You can't do your experience over truth. You got to accept the Bible. Say, well, I don't like what the Bible says because I know what I experienced. It doesn't matter what you experienced. Do you know the devil will heal you if it'll cause you to turn toward a lie? The one person I was talking about earlier that wanted to go to me, you know, will you get Judy to take me to Sandestin to this meeting to get prayed over and healed or whatever? You know, there's only so much you can do. You know, man, I try. I try to help. I don't have to run people off. They run themselves off. If that's the way it needs to be. So everybody heard him speak in their own tongues. Look at verse 7. And they were all amazed. This is Acts 2, verse 7. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man?" How many women? You know why 1 Corinthians 14 talks about the women keeping silence in churches? The context is tongues. That's what it is. Do you have to keep silence in church if you're a woman? No. You could amen. But in the context of 1 Corinthians 14, there's rules. One at a time, interpreter, etc. And one of them is the women keep silence in churches because the woman is more easily deceived than the man. Boy, that would fly real well at most churches. Eve was deceived, not Adam. You know why Eve was deceived? Because she believed Satan and what he was saying. And Adam then went along because he loved her more than he loved God. That's simple. Let me give you one last thing. This is the embryonic forming of the church. Okay? I'm going to give you this. In Matthew 16, Jesus said what? "I will build my church." Okay? That means in Matthew 16, it's future. It's framed through Christ's sacrifice. Okay? So it's future in Matthew. These are all F's. This is not from me because it's alliterative. This is somebody else gave me this. Future, Matthew 16. It's framed through Christ sacrificed. In Acts chapter 2, it's formed. How do you know it's formed then? Because Romans 11, 17 says the Gentiles, we are grafted in among the Jews. They're already in the body before we get there. We're grafted in among them. So they're already constituting the body. We're grafted in. And then we become one together. There's neither Jew nor Gentile in the body of Christ. Male or female in the body of Christ. Bond or free in the body of Christ. We're all one. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white, Jew or Gentile. And by the way, there's only three groups in the world. Jew, Gentile, and Church of God. You know why? Because when you become part of the Church of God, you lose your identity. Before that, you're either Jew or Gentile. So if you're a Jew or a Gentile, you're lost. In the body, you're part of the Church of God. Only three in the whole world. I mean, only three in all of being. Okay, so that's three. Number four, it's found through the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. When you look at the body, you see it in Acts, but you really don't get it. But when you read Paul's epistles, and you read Colossians, you read Philippians, you read Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Thessalonians, Timothy, you read all that, you see that it's found through those epistles mainly, with his name as the first word in each one of them. And then it's functioning throughout this age. It's functioning. And then one more. It's filled up at the rapture. I wrote that down because I really liked it. I mean, it's future, it's framed, it's formed, it's found, it's functioning, it's filled up at the rapture. Every believer's leaving at the rapture, not just the Baptist church. To the chagrin of some of these guys. I don't like a lot of the foolishness that's going on in Christendom. Let me use a big word. I don't. But I do know this much. If churches and people in churches are preaching the gospel, I therein rejoice. That's what the Bible tells me. So the only thing I want to know, okay, I don't agree with you on this doctrine, I don't agree with you on that doctrine, or that doctrine, or that doctrine. I am not going to agree with everybody, and by the way, you may not agree with me on everything. I may not agree with you on everything. But, you know, where do you divide, you know? The point being this, I'm not going to agree with every church around here in doctrine. But if they preach salvation by grace to save souls, we can find that one commonality to rejoice. Here's another reason. I'm not going to be able to reach everybody. When I say Baptist, some people go, oh. Then I say Independent Baptist, and another group that wasn't the go, oh. Then I say Bible-believing Independent Baptist, and that gets the rest of the group. You know, in other words, look, we're, you know, so I'm not going to reach everybody. You're not going to reach everybody. You know what you do? You reach them anyway. You try. You work on it. But we have to rejoice if churches preach the gospel. Now, the gospel needs to be unadulterated. It's not baptismal regeneration. It's not, you know, hey, you got to speak in tongues to get the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know. Either you have the Spirit of Christ or you're none of His, according to the Bible. And I can go on and on and on, obviously. Like I said, I've never taught Acts, so I'm like, you know, kid in the candy shop right now. Because if you get this book right, it'll keep you out of more trouble than you know. If you get it right. Problem is, the majority of Christianity gets it wrong. And not that I have a corner on it. I just know that I've spent more time in the book of Acts than any other book in the Bible. Because I needed to know, why does it say this? What's this mean? You know, why does it seem like it contradicts? Anyway, let's all stand together. Thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you for your patience and love, charity, forbearance. Thank you for being my wife. All right. We're going to pray and go ahead and be dismissed. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, we pray for your will to be done in our lives. Thank you for the truth, the whole truth. And Lord, we want nothing but the truth. In Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You are dismissed.